morning, we understand some truth from the Bible this morning, talking about Jesus Christ, who He is, His love for us, His grace, His goodness. I hope you went to church yesterday. Hope you took some time out of your week to begin to think about God. You know, very sadly today, so many people just go through life acting as if there is no God. Turning their back on the person that is the most loving person in the world, the person that knows them more than anybody else in the world, the person that desires them to know Him more than anybody else in the world. And the Bible tells us about God, and God is our Creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, it's awesome to look around and understand that it's not just an accident, it's not an explosion that made something. It's a Creator designer. We can see billions of light years away, traveling at the speed of light for billions of years, and there's nothing out there. Yet people have this strong faith that, oh, there's got to be something because they believe evolution is true. But the Bible says that God created right here, and that He created man in His image, in the image of God creating him. That means this morning that as we look around, we see each other, we can understand a little bit about God. We can know that God is a person. We can know that God is caring, God is loving, God is gracious. We can understand maybe God gets upset sometimes. God doesn't get upset for no reason. God gets upset at our sin. Our sin is what separates us from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And it's no wonder today that our Creator Designer looks at us with a little bit of disgust as He looks at a people that have turned their back on Him. The one that gave them life, the one that gave them family, the one that gave them food, the one that gave them everything that they have. And yet so many people today, the only time they speak about God is to take His name and use it as a curse word. It's a very sad thing to live in a generation like that, a generation that's turned its back on God, over a generation that would look up and understand that there is a Creator, that there is a Designer. The Bible says that heaven declares the glory of God, the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter His speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. That means all around this world, in every place, and every people, there is a confident witness to them about the fact that there is a God. You have that today, even here in Scotland. As we look around, we have a testimony to us that there is a God. The water cycle, the circulatory system, all the systems that are in life, the incredible things, and we are wonderfully and marvelously made. God designed us intricately. The fact is, today in our day, we know more than we've ever known about cells and about minutia, and we know more about grandeur than we've ever known before. But yet mankind looks at the glory of a sunset, the glory of a sunrise, the glory of the northern lights, the glory of lightning in the sky and things like that, and the stars that are in the heaven. And very sadly, they look at that and they say an explosion made them. That doesn't make sense. Nobody would go down to the National Gallery today and look at the beautiful paintings that are there on the wall and say that just happened when an explosion went off in a paint factory. Anybody that would think that would be, frankly, somebody that's not that smart. Because you look at that, you see design, you see something that is created, and you recognize that person that made that glorious painting, they deserve glory. I'll tell you today, the God that made the sunset, the sunrise, the rainbow in the sky, and all those things deserves the glory that mankind ought to give. We ought to bow the knee before a God like that and say, "Oh God, You are glorious." Anytime we see that rainbow in the sky, anytime we see that sunset, that sunrise, anytime we experience the loving things that life gives to us because God designed it that way, we ought to bow our knee before a holy God and say, "God, thank You for what You've given to me." Very sadly, an atheist is somebody that never says thank you to God. An atheist is somebody that, though they don't say thank you to God, they blame God for everything that's bad in their life and say, "If there is a God, then I curse Him." You know, most people today are not an atheist because they don't think there's a God. There's an atheist because they do not want to believe in a God that made them. They do not want to believe in a God that designed them. They do not want to accept the fact that there's a God in heaven. Why is that? Because if they accept that there's a God in heaven, they accept that that God has a right to tell them what to do or what not to do, and He has a right to make the laws. And the law first is this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. This is the great commandment. I'll tell you this, as I look at people today, I would know this for sure. The vast majority of people passing this way are people that break the greatest commandment in the world, to love God. God designed them. God created them. God gave them life. And yet they use that life to blaspheme God. They use that life to mock God. They use that life to curse God. I don't have to convince somebody today that they're a sinner. All of us know if we look in the mirror that we're a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every single one of us has violated God's law. The problem with that is the punishment for sin is death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." It's not speaking there about physical death. It is speaking about eternal death. It's about speaking about eternity in a lake of fire. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friend, are you ready to stand before God? My greatest desire as a preacher is that people would come to an understanding of who God is, who they are, and what Jesus Christ is, so that they could be forgiven of their sin and have God's gift as everlasting life. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. Nobody gets a do-over. Nobody gets to say, you know, right, I'd like to go back and start over. When we're in the grave, you're in the grave. It's too late at that point to go back. It's incumbent upon us in this life right now to begin to search the scriptures. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's given an opportunity to every man that's passing here, every woman that's passing here, every child that's passing here, to pick up a Bible, begin to read it, begin to think about God, begin to consider eternity and eternal truth. Nobody has to go through this world ignorant. Most of us can read. Most of us can download a Bible to our phone. It's free, or it costs a minimal amount to get a Bible on our phone. We can begin to read it. I encourage you, if you're going to read the Bible, begin with the book of John. It says in the book of John that these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. The greatest desire in the heart of the Creator God is not to send anybody to hell. The Word of God says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Anybody that goes to hell is somebody that has stepped over the marred back and the bloody back and the crucified body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, came to die on the cross for our sin. Why did He do that? Because He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, I say the greatest desire in the heart of God today is for His creation to stop, look, and listen, look up, and understand that there's a God in heaven that loves them. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I say again, God's greatest desire for you is that you know Him. A lot of people say to me, Ben, I don't want to be religious. I'm not trying to convince anybody today to be religious. What I would try to convince somebody to be today is somebody that's in a relationship with God. Not a religion, but a relationship. A lot of people are in religions today, but they're religions that are taking them to hell. The Bible says, by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. There's a lot of people trusting in their christening. They're trusting in the good works. They're trusting in their church membership. They're trusting in what they have done. If they were to stand before God, they'd say to God, God, I'm a good person. Let me into heaven. But again, the problem with that is there is none righteous, no, not one. The problem with that is for all sins, it comes short of the glory of God. The problem with that is that Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's not another way today. In the garden, Jesus Christ prayed three times. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He's there weeping that plate. He's sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. The capillaries burst in his forehead as he was praying so earnestly, saying to God, God, if there's any other way, let's do that. But his Father said to him that he must go to the cross, because the cross is the only way that somebody can be forgiven. A lot of people today want to justify themselves. They want to be righteous in their own eyes. So they get politicians and social media and others to back them in their sinful lifestyle and the ungodliness that's in their life, trying to justify the sin that is there. But justification is not us declaring that we are right. It is us getting right with God and having the righteousness of God imputed to our account. Now again, I praise God that God desires to do that. God is not against you, God is for you, but God is against your sin, because your sin separates you from a holy God. That's the very thing that separated man in the Garden of Eden from God. They sinned against God, took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day they ate thereof, they not only brought death, but they brought separation from their Creator, the Designer, from God Himself. God made a way for man to be forgiven. He took an animal that was there in the garden. He killed that animal. He took the skin of that animal, put it upon the naked bodies of Adam and Eve, so that the nakedness of the shame of their sin would be covered, so that they could be brought into a right relationship with God. You know what that was? That was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, that would die on the cross for our sin. You know, it's a wonderful thing for somebody to stop in their life and begin to think about God. It's a wonderful thing for somebody just to pick up a Bible, begin to read it, maybe say to their kids tonight, rather than watching the telly, we're just going to read a little bit from the Word of God here before we go to bed. And for a mom and dad to bow their head, maybe say to God, God, I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to say as I come before you. I've not been taught religious things, maybe something like that. But I'll tell you this about prayer. Prayer is just going to God and talking to God. And the best way to go to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the only way. It's only through the blood of Christ that we can be forgiven of our sins. The only thing keeping somebody from heaven is their sin. That's why it's so important today that somebody not justify their sin in their own eyes and say, my sin's okay. I'm just going to hold on to an ungodly lifestyle or wicked behavior or something like that that's in my life. It's so important that that person turn from that, repent of their sin, so that they could be forgiven, because that's the only way for somebody to get right with God. Well, friend, are you right with God today? Again, I don't have to talk to people today and convince them that they're sinners. I don't have to talk to them today and convince them that their life is against God. I think the vast majority of people that pass this place would be people that understand in their heart of hearts that they're ungodly, that there's things in their life that they've done that they've never been forgiven by God for, because they've never had the blood of Jesus Christ applied to their life. You know, God wants to take care of them. God says it this way. He says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That sin stain that you can't get rid of, that makes you feel guilty at night, that makes you maybe weep, thinking how you wrecked your marriage, how you wrecked your life, how you destroyed your body, or things like that. That sin that has defiled you, God is able to take it away through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of young people today are hopeless because they're told that there is no God. They're hopeless because they're told that this life is empty to the fullest. And they find out when you live life to the fullest in sin, it is empty because the end of sin is death. So praise God for somebody that would stop and stay in love to a child like that, or a young person like that. Look, there's a God in heaven that loves you, that designed you the way that you are. He didn't design you to be a sinner. That's your sinful choice. But God will give you victory over that sin. God will change your life. The Bible says it this way. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God desires to do that in your life today. God desires to take away that old man that's against God, that old man that curses God, blasphemes God, lives a life that's reprobate against God, the life of the person that's a pub, a person that goes to the pub and drink and get drunk and be immoral and have a wicked lifestyle. You know, that's so much of our world today, living godless against God. God desires to fix that. God desires to give you a drink that will satisfy you eternally. It's called the water of life. It's through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He offers it freely. Some of that drinks of the water of the Lord Jesus Christ drinks and never thirsts again. And they have a satisfaction in their soul that's God-given, because God has worked in their heart in a dramatic way. Friend, do you have the power of God at work in your life? Do you know anything about Jesus Christ? Do you know anything that would help your neighbor, your friend, or your loved one that is dying and on their deathbed, needing Jesus Christ as their Savior, needing the forgiveness that God alone can give? Can you give them any real hope other than some nice, right saying or some happy thoughts that you try to give them? And I'm not saying we shouldn't try to comfort those that are dying, but I'll tell you this. The one thing somebody needs on their deathbed is Jesus Christ. Or if somebody lives this life to the fullest, they have everything that mankind dreams about. They have all the wealth in the world. They've got the greatest position in the world. They have all the prestige in the world, all the fame in the world. They die and go to hell. What's the point? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Can somebody offer to God their money? Can they offer to God their position? Can they offer to God their fame? Is that going to meet the need when they stand before God? The only thing that's going to matter on that day is, do I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior? Again, the Word of God says, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. It's not anything that we could do. It's not anything that we could offer to God. Nobody's going to stand before God and say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't think about it in your life, but now I realize that you're real, and I want to make a barter with you to get my soul out of hell. The only thing God's going to do is look at that person and say, He's not going to even apologize to them, because they have every opportunity in life to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. But very sadly, He will say to them on that day, depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God does not desire to do that. As the scripture just said, hell was not created for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But those that listen to the devil's lies, believe all the untruth that he is saying, very sadly, They're going to go to the same place that their father's going to go to, because they are the children not of God, but the children of the devil. Because they turned their back on God, they turned their back on the truth of the Word of God. They rejected Him and all His love and all His grace and all His goodness and the good work that Jesus Christ did on the cross for the sin. Friend, that's justice. A lot of people say to me, Ben, if God's a loving God, why is He going to send people to hell? Well, can I ask you a question today? Since God is a loving God, why did He send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross? God is a loving God. But God loved us so much that He took His Son, His only begotten Son, and put Him on a cross of shame, a cross of wickedness, with defilement all around Him. He turned His back on His Son so that His Son would have to cry out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why did He do that? Because John 3:16 is true. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Because it's true today that there's a God in heaven that loves you. You might look around today and say, Ben, nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. There's plenty of people like that in their heart and their life. And just looking around and saying, nobody cares one bit about my life. Nobody desires to help me. Nobody desires to care for me. But I'll tell you this today, there's a God in heaven that cares for you. There's a God in heaven that loves you. There's a God in heaven that you're seeking. You should find it if you search with all your heart. There's nothing God desires more today than to be found with you. He's going to help you. If you take one step towards God, I believe this, He'll take two steps towards you. Because God is not against you. But you got to come God's way. The man that wants to come to God has to look at his life as it is in light of the Word of God. Just like a man that looks in the mirror, sees in that mirror things that are in his life, and he decides he's going to change that, so we must look at the Word of God and say, what does God say about my life? Again, what the Word of God says is that we're sinners. What the Word of God says is that our righteousnesses are in filthy rags, because there is ungodliness in our life that needs to be dealt with, and the only thing that can cleanse us is Christ. The only thing that can save us is Jesus. Oh, He is the Savior. I echo the words that were said to those shepherds that day in Bethlehem. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ came and Jesus Christ died so that you could be forgiven. Well, friend, you know Jesus Christ to me as your Lord, as your Savior. You might say to me, how do I go about that? How do I come to faith in God? First of all, take up the Word of God. Look at what it says about your sin, but see what it says about the Savior, about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that died for you, about God's way and God's plan of salvation through Christ and Christ alone. And then if you understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, that He didn't stay in the grave, but that He rose from the dead, and then you look at that and say, right, I get that, I understand that, I'd like to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, then all you need to do is look in faith to God. And say what it says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God that said that and cannot lie. He said it and meant it. Anybody that will say to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, understand that He died on the cross for your sin, that He rose again from the dead. And we'll look at that in faith. The Bible says to look and live. Look and live. As a little boy, I heard my dad preach a message on hell, and I thought, I don't want to go to that place. I went down to my dad's study and asked my dad how to be saved. He showed me I was a sinner, but that Jesus Christ died for me, that by faith in Him, I could be forgiven. I bowed my head and I prayed a simple prayer, something like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell, but You died for me. You paid the price for my sin. Will You please forgive me my sin and save me right now? And God did. And friend, I can tell you today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, over 100%, I know for sure if I die to go to heaven, it's not because I'm a good person, it's not because I preach the Word of God, it's not because I believe the Gospel. It's that I personally put my faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and I've received His gift of everlasting life. Friend, have you done that? Has there ever been a time? It's not too late. Nobody passed in this place needs to think today I'm too old. Nobody needs to think I'm too uneducated. Nobody needs to think today I'm too great a sinner. I'll tell you this, Christ is for you. Christ died for you, and you can be forgiven. Father, I pray by the grace of God that those passing this place today would grab a hold of the truth of the Word of God, understand that there's a Savior, and Father, just like somebody drowning in the foot of the forest, I pray they cry out and receive God's gift of everlasting life. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.